Lord, come and do. Come and do what only you can do. Come and do. Come and do what only you can do. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, sing, "You're my friend."
You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more. Yes, I long and I long to worship you.
Yes, I long to worship you. As the deep panted for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Yes, I long to worship you. Oh, I long to worship you. Oh, I long to worship you. Lord, I long to worship. Father, who is like unto you? There is no God like you. You're the God who loves to the utmost. There are no impossibilities with you. When we think that all is lost, that we've come to the end of the road and there's no way to escape, there you are, our way maker, a God who makes a way where there is no way, a God who gives to us water even in the driest of deserts. You cause streams to flow. When it seems like the skies are dark and all there is trouble, you're the God who speaks peace and calm. The God who blows away the storms and gives clarity. You are a present help in the time of trouble. And Lord, oh God, today we rest on your grace. We rest on your goodness. We say with David the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We say with the psalmist that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We say with the psalmist, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We say with the psalmist, you cause us to lay down in green pastures. You restore our soul. We say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Today, we rest in your goodness. And we say, Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Sovereign Lord, reign. Let men know that there is a God who reigns over all. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a new work in the body of Christ. Energize us again. Revive us again. Let resurrection life flow in us and through us. And having risen, O God, we are reminded that we sit with you, Most High,
in heavenly places. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You alone are my heart's desire and thy long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. Yes, Lord. You alone are my heart's desire. And I long to worship you. You alone.
You alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield.
To no one else, Lord.
You
alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Yes, I long
to worship you.
Blessed be the name of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Thank you. But just hang in there. I am going to surprise somebody today and surprise all of us. There is a daughter in this house that has a voice that sings unto the Lord. And I thought about her this morning when I was here earlier. And I sense in my spirit that she should sing a song unto the Lord. She has no warning. The band doesn't have any warning or if they'll be able to follow her. But I'm going to ask this dear daughter of the living God to come. I'm going to ask Sister Charlotte. Come here. Abba Shakataba. Bring me the other mic, please. You're surprised, huh? So you're going to be led by the Spirit this morning. When the Lord called me into ministry, I had maybe 5 minutes, a lot of the time. I came to church and the pastor says, "You're preaching." And every one of us need to be ready. You need to be ready. The Holy Spirit will give you the right song. And you're going to sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. they're going to figure out somehow to flow with you. And if they can't, that's fine. There you go. Is that on? There you go.
Jesus, you're so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty love for us. My soul can hardly find the words, Lord, to express my gratitude.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you love us. Let it rain, Lord. Let it fall on everyone. Lord, you know us, and you call us. You know our names, Lord. So shower down your mercy and grace to us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Our hearts
cry. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. So good, so good, so good, so good. Every day of our lives. And this morning, Lord, you call us by name and say, child, my banner over you, over you, 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 is love. Love and mercy, grace and peace. Receive my child. Receive all that I have for you today and every day. Receive my child. Receive all I have from my love to you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, I long to worship you. Amen. God is good. The God we serve is a faithful God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He has a plan for everyone here. I'm excited in my spirit because God, our God, is doing a new thing. Amen. Something new is happening. And He says to us, the old is past. We appreciate the old, but God is doing a new thing. God is doing a what?
New thing.
And when new things happen, you need to get used to it because it's new to you. And sometimes there's a learning curve. If you get a new car, even though you know how to drive, the chances are the first time you go to the gas station, you might be looking for, where's the, how many of you have ever experienced that? So there are new things to learn. I remember I was in Toronto. I guess that was about 3-4 years ago, and we had a car rent, a rental car, and I was heading back to the airport, and I needed to fill the gas tank, and I'm looking for the button everywhere. So I called Winnipeg, and I called Brother Andre, I believe. I asked him, where is the button for this vehicle? I thought that was the same vehicle they were driving, so he's got to know where it is. And it wasn't the same vehicle, and I'm looking, I'm saying, oh my God, I had to learn a new thing. The new things God is about to do is going to generate a lot of new things, learning. I want to say to you, as the new things begin to happen, that you do not get yourself all wound up and frustrated, but rest in the goodness of God, that He knows all things, He sees all things, and He, the God who is doing the new things, knows exactly where everything is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows exactly where everything is that you need to do, need to say. And in fact, one of the best things you can do in your life is to acknowledge the fact that you are a learner. Amen? There's no time that you're not going to learn. God is taking you and taking me into a new place in Him where we cannot rely on what we used to know, but trust Him for the new things and what those new things mean for us in real ways. I want that sister right there. That sister right there. No, the one... the same row with Pastor Henry, that sister, the lady with the blue mask. Yes, please come here quickly, come. Just stay there, right there, that's fine. Father, meet this lady here today. Be the answer for her. Receive an encounter with God in this house today. Receive the transformation that you desire. Power of the living God. Come upon her. Shatter every stronghold. Break every curse. Grace our God with the presence of your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Loose your hold. And let her be. In Jesus' mighty name. Power of the living God. Come afresh on her. Katoshi na balabo sakaha matosike. Oh, di bashe di mosike di ba. Yene ne mosato di ba. Yikala da de boshane. Barisukada masha. Yeke telebresua, rikata tamashandeva, rekerebosaya, in the mighty name of the living God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, healing, deliverance, peace, victory, In the mighty name of Jesus, be made every with whole, be restored by grace. Amen. Hallelujah. What's your name, sister? What's your name? Yeah. Barbara. Barbara. I'm glad that you're here today. I said, I'm glad that you're here today. You've not been in church for a long time. Wow. God knows what you need. In Jesus' name. Do you have hearing aid right now? Take it out. You hear that? I snapped. You hear that? Take that. Yes, please. You don't have to snap. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Bless you, go. God is good. Mama. Oh. You heard her? She said she can hear? She could hear? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I didn't have a mic. I should have given that to her. But that's okay. This is your mic. No, that's your mic. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you
Amen.
Hear her? She says she's not been in church for a long time, but this is her day.
Amen.
Today is your day too.
Yeah, man.
Did somebody say, me too?
Me too.
Well, if God healed her just that easy, somebody can say, me too.
Amen.
So that means the healer is in the house. Yes. So the blesser is in the house.
Amen.
So don't wait for another second. Just put your hand up and say, I take my portion.
I receive my portion. I take my portion.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. None of us can heal anybody. Apostle didn't heal her. The healer is here.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord. But he needs a channel to flow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like at home, you drink water all the time. Comes through your pipe. You are not the water. The pipe is just a container. So me and you, we are just containers. The Lord is in the house.
Amen.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody, I receive my miracle.
I receive.
Hallelujah. It's another beautiful day God has made for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord forevermore.
Hallelujah.
All right, children, are you going to your class? Or let's pray quickly for them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't the stage getting more beautiful by the second?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We can't wait for it to be completed. We thank God for the hands that have been working here day and night. May God also remember them and bless them.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Father, we thank you for all our children, all our teachers, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world. We pray for every child in this house. We are all the children of the Most High God. From age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking around, those going to school, touch every one of them, every decade of life. The Lord is your portion in the land of the living. Father, remember every household represented. Minister your grace to your sons and your daughters. Touch them, O God. Let the children excel in school. Let them excel in life. Let them reign in life with Christ Jesus. May the Lord be enough in the name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our hearts, into our church, our home, our families, our nation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews 12. Hallelujah. All right, you're going to catch up, so I got lots to read. Did you all read the scriptures I told you to read last week? What were the two scriptures? Passage. Amen. Somebody told me all the verses, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you find your own issues in there when you read the curses? Things that are going on in your family, you can eradicate all of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus has paid the price for it, and we don't want all those things anymore. The blessings are ours, but from reading the curses, you can diagnose what's going on in your own family. Every issue is dealt with right there. So when symptoms of those things are around you, you can say, Lord, I repent and I begin to give you thanks and I will obey your word. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
We are living in wonderful days. We must live according to God's standard.
Yes.
Say amen.
Hallelujah.
Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
We're not going to make it to heaven by man's standard. We're going to make it by God's standard. So it's time to begin to clean your own heart.
Praise God.
Say amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody should be in Hebrews 12. Let's read together. There are 29 verses. I hope I can finish. If not, praise the Lord. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What does it say sin does? Sin is not hard. It says easy. Not only that, it wants to pack with you. So you just say, get out of my parking lot. Your parking lot is your heart. So sin wants to quickly, it says easily, it's easy. What did it say surrounds you? You have not just a cloud, great cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are watchers around you. God is watching, and the saints that have moved on and angels are watching. So don't say, nobody saw me. No, there were many eyes present, just that you did not see it. Oh, it's getting quiet in this, I don't know, Presbyterian church this morning. So Pentecostals are always saying, hallelujah, Bible believers.
Praise the Lord.
Are there believers in the house?
Amen.
When we do this, we are not saying it about others. We're saying it for ourselves so that our heart can readjust. Sin is easy. We're going to make sure it's not easy to enter us. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, no, this is a reality. Sin. All right, so let's move on to verse 2. Say, let us run the race with what? patience that is said before us. You are in a race. It's not whether there's going to be a race. The race have started. From the moment you were conceived and you were born, you are in a race.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, there's a race set before us. I have mine set for me. You have yours set for you. You got to run your own race. So don't say, I don't know how to do marathon. You are in the marathon of life. Mm-hmm. Say amen.
Amen.
You're going to run yours. Every one of us. Run yours and finish. And pass. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, if you run a race, you don't cross that ribbon or the mark that they said that's the finishing line. You are not qualified for anything. You are not even listed. You might be listed when you started, but among the champions, you are not. Somebody say, I'm a champion.
I'm a champion.
So you got to finish your race.
Amen.
Let us run the race. It didn't say walk the race. Run. Run for your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
So when sin easily came to Potiphar's house through Potiphar's wife to Joseph, what did the Bible say Joseph did?
He ran.
He has a race set for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. I'm running my race. Potiphar's wife wanted to run adulterous race, but Joseph is running God's kingdom race.
Amen.
I choose God's kingdom.
Verse
2, let's continue. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So while we are running this race, we're not looking at our neighbors. We're not looking at our family members. We're not looking at what we have and don't have. We are looking at Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You put your eyes on Jesus. He did not allow shame to stop him. That's the King of glory, the darling of heaven. Removed all his clothes, beat him, naked him, did all kinds of things to him. He did not look at his suffering. He looked at the Father. May we look at Jesus.
Amen.
When we are suffering, may we look at him.
Amen.
This present suffering is not compared to the glory that's going to come upon our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. If you are suffering because you want to believe in God and you're doing things God's standard, then that's okay. You will finish your race. But don't suffer just for suffering's sake. It has to be because you took a stand for Jesus.
Mm.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Yeah. It's very easy. We're in a world now that is easy to compromise. May you not compromise your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
When things don't go your way, you make your own way. There is only one way. It's called Jesus.
Yes.
Looking unto Jesus. And I think I'll finish all of it, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, so we're going to read, so we're praying. These are things we're chiseling into our heart now so that we can be strong in our inner man and become overcomers in this world. Say amen. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So where is the problem? The problem is always in the minds. We choose the mind of Christ this morning. Somebody say, I receive the mind of Christ.
Yeah, I receive the mind of Christ.
It's because it's in our mind that we play all kinds of movies. Movies of defeat, or somebody did that, or somebody did not do that. We receive the mind of Christ. Highly focused. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Who here has been beaten and scourged and nail piercing all over the place unto blood? everything splattering everywhere. You say, I will not sin, I will not sin. No, none of us. Just little monkeys jumping in the bush and we lose it. May God help us. I say, shoot the monkeys. Say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Say, praise the Lord. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You better not correct some people. They say, I'm not going to that church anymore. I'm out of here. Is it the church you are not going, or you are not going to heaven anymore? That is the question I have to answer. Because any church you go to, the word of the Lord must be the word of the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
So the one you are running to that is going to make sure you have mess in your diaper and then just put some lotion all over you and throw some baby powder on it? No, an adult does not wear diaper. If you wear diaper, then something has gone wrong and you need healing. Say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, heal me.
Heal me.
Heal me of every mess. And every stench. Because sin smells before God. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ah, when you scourge, it's not easy. That means you're going to feel something. So it's a good feeling that the Lord loves us and he can correct us. Say, Lord, you can correct me anytime.
Lord, you can correct me anytime.
Amen. That means he loves me. Because if the Holy Spirit stops nudging at your heart and you just carry on as if nothing is wrong and you just love to sin and you're a Christian, then you are in trouble. But if the Holy Spirit can convict you and say, change that, and you're able to change that, praise the Lord, that is God's love is working.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Correct me anytime.
Correct me anytime.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why we sang, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Did you hear that? For what son is he whom the father chastiseth not? So if you have a father that just say yes, yes, your biological father always say yes, yes, you're doing something wrong, and doesn't even correct you, just you know where that child is going to end up. Destruction. So that father hates that child. But if the father loves that child, he directs them the right way. Say amen.
Amen.
So God will always direct us the right way.
Amen.
Because he loves us. We're going to make it to our eternal home.
Amen.
Say amen. 120 years is a very short time. Nothing in this world is important. We're just passing through. Hallelujah. Don't compromise. We're in the days of compromise. We're the days where we have to battle to make sure our love for God is real. Only you can answer that for yourself. Do I really love God? Or am I pretending? May we not pretend.
Amen.
May God deliver us from pretense.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Wow. Are this type of language in the Bible? All scriptures are Holy Spirit inspired. May none of us be bastards.
Amen.
May we be sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So you are spirits. If you never knew you were spirits, right there, it is written, Father of spirits. Somebody say, I'm spirit.
I'm a spirit.
That's still hard for a lot of people because you're so into your house, this body, flesh. that you will get your spirit. God is spirit, he sees and knows all things. So also is your spirit. Your spirit knows. Say, Father, help me.
Father, help me.
For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hallelujah. Our earthly fathers just correct and chastened us and did all what they do so that we can become people they are proud of. You make them look good. But God is not trying to make him look good. He's good already. God is good.
Amen.
You can't make him good. Hallelujah. You can't make God good. God is good. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. He said, but he's doing the chastening so that we can be what? Partakers of his holiness. Because God is holy. The Bible says, without holiness, no one shall see God. So God is polishing us so that we can be with him forevermore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, I'll be with him forevermore.
Be with him forevermore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I remember many years ago, we went to somewhere, I think they had pastor's meeting. It's more than maybe 30 years ago or somewhere. You know, I can't remember what year now, but... And they ask everyone, they say, what is the thing you really want? What is driving you as a child of God? Everybody gave different answers. And I said, I just want to be with him. That I'll make it. The person who was leading that meeting said, oh, that's it? And I'm thinking... I said this, so that showed me the person who's speaking. I had to pray for them. Today they are no longer in the ministry. You got to keep that passion. To be with him, what else are you saved for? I go prepare a place for you that where I am, there you be also. Father is calling his children home. Well, we're going to still be here. I'm not dying soon. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have taken Father Abraham's blessing.
Amen.
He did 175. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Instead of getting more feeble, we get stronger. If feebleness coming, we fight it. We say, get out of here. So begin to make friends with young people. Some people don't. They say, I want to die because my mates are all gone. Make friends with young people. Amen.
Amen.
Pass the wisdom in you to the young ones. And you'll be young all the time. Are we still in church?
Praise the Lord.
Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present cement to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Say amen. Amen. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. In his peace, we lack nothing. Hallelujah. Prince of peace. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Why? Keep on praying, keep on blessing his holy name. Whether you have any reason, maybe today was just bad news after bad news, you can still lift your hands up. You can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There's excitement in your spirit, praise the Lord. There's no excitement and you feel like crying, then just cry and still bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Your feeble knees, the knees are hard to bend down to pray. Make them lie down. Put the knees down. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say, lift them before the living God. and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Is that in your Bible? It's a requirement. Say amen. The language of our world today is that, oh, don't judge me. I don't live by law. I don't live by rules. Well, there are rules in the kingdom. Say amen. Yeah. God is a judge. That's one of his names. Judge. Judge God. He's Abba Father, but he's also a judge. Judge have rules. Say amen. You know, I don't know what kind of Christianity we are doing now. Please get back to the word of God for yourself. Say amen. Do it for yourself. Love yourself enough. I love me. So because I love me, my love is enough. God's love is enough for me and me. It has to be enough for you. If God's love is not enough for you and you are leaning and depending on people's love, then you are not going to finish your race well. Because one day you'll be popular before them and another day they drop you like hot pancake. Then what? Or do you say hot potato? Are we still in the Presbyterian Church?
No.
Or Holy Ghost Church? How do you live peaceably with somebody who is just evil? God say, live peaceably. I didn't write this word. I'm speaking to myself. Huh? Did he say all men or just some? You mean when you meet nasty people, follow peace with all men. And then God attached holiness to it. That means if they curse you, oh God, it's like don't curse them back. Say, Lord. Help me. Did you mean that? Say amen. I know about you. I say help me. Let me try to finish quickly. Please, Lord. Are you praying for me till I finish? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? Defiled. When there's root of bitterness, there's defilement attached to it. Somebody say, free me, Lord. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He's the one that caught the what do you call it? He went hunting. Maybe it was a deer. We don't know what he caught. The Bible never told you what kind of meat. The venison, he got it, the wild meat. He's a hunter. He got the meat. He did the work. Just be patient for a few minutes to cook it. Sold his birthright. Say, Lord. I've heard some people say they don't pray for patience anymore. Whereas the Bible says patience is the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard preachers say that. Say, Lord, you are now in the days you must not follow man, you must follow God. Follow God and follow the Bible. Say amen. He did all the work. He went to the bush, got the meat and brought it. Just a few minutes to cook it. Could not wait. What he owned is already his. Sold his birthright. And the Bible called him a fornicator. Wow. Anytime you compromise, you have become a fornicator. You might not have chased after another girl, another woman, or man. God said, when you compromise what he has asked you to do, you are what? fornicator. Say, Lord, deliver me from fornication. Say amen. Jesus. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Too late. He begged his father, any small remaining, no, but the pronunciation of the anointing of blessing has been released on the one who had wisdom. May God give you wisdom. May God give you wisdom. May God give me wisdom. Somebody say, I receive the spirit of wisdom. I pray this all the time. Spirit of wisdom, rest upon me. Say amen. Bible says, if you lack it, ask him. He will give you generous portion. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto where? Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As you are in church this morning, there are angels all around you. It says innumerable. You cannot count them. Why would you want to give up that for a muscle of compromise? I like angelic companies from the living God. Mm. Say amen.
Amen.
I love God's presence.
Yes.
It's not only when you come to church you should feel God's presence. It's more important in your private time. Say amen. We're almost done. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Did I not say he's a judge? Mm-hmm. It's right there. So next time, don't say, don't judge me. The judge is going to judge you. So you better judge yourself before the real judge judge you. Say amen.
Amen.
Take care of yourself. Say, Lord, help me. Let me not be blind to myself. That would be the worst thing that can happen to you, blind to yourself. Say, Lord,
Lord,
Holy Spirit, continue to convict me.
Continue to convict me.
It's a good thing. Say amen. Church of the firstborn. Are you part of that church? Yes, we are the General Assembly and the Church of the firstborn. So this is for us. Which are written in heaven. So you are written. Your name is already written in heaven. May not be blotted out. May my name not be blotted out. Say amen. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's the second time again you know your spirits in one particular chapter. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do this all the time. I say that when we're doing communion, the blood of Jesus speaking better things. Hallelujah. It's saying by his stripes we are healed. It says, let the poor say I'm rich. Say, let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's saying God is for me and not against me. Verse 25, seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape, say, don't receive the word you are hearing. The words you are hearing, don't refuse it. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Hallelujah. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So heaven and earth shall be shaken. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. Only what, anything that is shaken must perish. Only what remains of God that is going to remain. May God remain in us.
Amen.
Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's been a perverted message of grace that's been going on, that's deceiving people all over the world, deceiving believers, Christians, and they're doing crazy stuff and just enjoying sin that's so easily beset. May you be free from that if you have received that demonized version of grace message. In the name of Jesus, be free.
Amen.
I read 28 again, 29. Wherefore, we receiving what? A kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. God's kingdom cannot be moved. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Did you hear that? Godly fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord has a lot of benefits. It also has a lot of chastisement. Hallelujah. For our God is what? A consuming fire. That's also his character. He's not just this only loving papa. He's a judge. He's a consuming fire. And he says he will shake everything, earth and heaven. Only what does not get destroyed is going to stay. So let us ask him to be in us always, so that when everything is shaking, he is still standing, and we are standing in him. Father, this word we have read this morning, she sold it deep into our heart. Let it begin to guide us, and let it begin to draw us closer to you. Father, we thank you that we will serve you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our might. We speak peace to every one of us. Peace to Jerusalem. Peace within our walls and our palaces. Peace to all your sons and daughters all over the nations of the world, and families, and those who are in chaotic situation in their mind and in their body. Peace, be still, and let the healing power of God flow. Have your way in this service. Let your word come with power and grace and favor, and receive all our thanksgiving offerings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Give this to your mom.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want you to come with me to a particular passage of Scripture. I'm going to be floating at the surface, but at various points, I will dig a little bit deeper. I'd like you to come with me to the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter, and I want to take my text from verse 25, Daniel 5 and verse 25. passage says in Daniel 5 and 25, it says, and this is the writing that was written Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. This was a declaration made over a son of Nebuchadnezzar called Belshazzar. Having declared that particular statement, I want to give us a background to what's happening here. And the background will take us to the very beginnings in chapter 1. In chapter 1, we read about the people of Israel in captivity. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim means Jehovah has raised. It's a good name, king of Judah. Came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He besieged it. But this is the interesting part. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Who gave him? The Lord. This is weird. The Lord gave him into the hands of a pagan king called Nebuchadnezzar. But not only did he give Jehoiakim and the people of Judah, he says, with part of the vessels of the house of God, God gave him. That's weird. How many times have you wondered, why is God doing this? God has his reasons for whatever it is he does. And many times I cannot pretend that I understand why God did what God did. But God did. The people of Israel had decided not to honor God's Sabbath. But God believes in Sabbaths. Don't ever think that God doesn't believe in Sabbaths. He does believe in Sabbaths, and Sabbaths is about rest. Amen? It's about rest. God believes in rest. God believes in you not working yourself up. God believes in you chilling and resting. He believes in work. God worked for 6 days, but on the seventh day, he rested. I can go, 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 but when it's time to rest, I'm going to rest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and rest does not necessarily mean that you take a vacation to Hawaii and then when you come back, you're tired. Have you ever had one of those vacations? You go on vacation and come back tired. You didn't rest. Hallelujah. So God says, okay, you guys, you're not resting, and you're not resting the land. I want the land to rest. And you've been working it. You didn't stop. Now you get all of you are out of here so that the land can rest. So God was so interested about land resting too. Yeah. So they're out there. An exile. Nebuchadnezzar drags them all out. And so the Bible says he carried these vessels into the land of Shinar, to the house of his god, a pagan god. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his god. That's where he put it. Now, part of what you want to do, and Nebuchadnezzar was this smart, is that he understood that if he was going to have control over the people, these Israelites, that he had to change their culture. Change their culture and you get to snap their ability to function. And so first thing he wanted to do is change their cuisine, what they eat. And so they brought certain smart ones among the Israelites, because you want to, if you can change the leadership, you can change the rest of the people. So he got the leaders. And some of the leaders he brought included the one we know as Daniel, the one we know as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And but Daniel was their leader. These were his boys. They recognized the leadership of Daniel. And so they wanted to change their meals, and Daniel says to the guy who's going to change whatever it is they want to eat and give them the best of the king's food to fatten them up. He says, this is the food. And Daniel says, I know this is good food. This is honorable, and you've given us the best of the best. But we'd rather not eat this. We don't want to eat this. What do you want? We just want some veggies. Veggies? You want me dead? Are you kidding me? He says, okay, give us 10 days. Just feed us the veggies. The others can eat whatever it is they want to eat, but just give us the veggies. And the guy says, okay, 10 days I can deal with. Because they were supposed to be fed whatever it is that the king gave to them for 3 years. And after 3 years, they were going to be presented to King Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar was going to deal with them as according to whatever Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do. So, 10 days later, checks them out. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are doing good. They're well-fatted, and they're healthier than the other guys. He says, okay, just keep on doing whatever it is that you're doing. It's fine. It's fine with me. So they let them alone. And the Bible says, story continues, into the second chapter. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he forgets the dream. And he gets all his magicians and his astrologers and the Chaldeans to come tell him his dream that he's forgotten, and to give him the interpretation of the dream that he's forgotten. And the guy says, wait a minute. You cannot be dreaming a dream and you forget the dream, and you tell us to come tell you the dream that you dreamt and then give you the interpretation of the dream that you've forgotten. This is not possible, man. He says, okay, all of you, your heads. I'm going to kill all of you because you guys are pretenders. I'm going to kill every one of you. So he gives instruction to one of his princes called Arioch, kill all of them. And the news comes to Daniel, and Daniel says, hold it. Give us some time. I know a God who is all-wise, all-knowing, and he has understanding of all things. Just give me some time. Let me consult with God and hear from God about what this problem is, and there will be a solution. Okay. Give him the time. And the Bible says, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he will show the king the interpretation. And sure enough, God spoke. We still serve that God, you know. He has not changed. The God who knows what people dreamt about and forgot about. The God who knows your past, your present, and your future. We still serve that God. He is still the same God. He has not changed. So he comes to the king and says, King, this is what your dream was. You dreamt about this great statue that had golden hair and silver chest and iron feet and toes and made out of iron and clay and blah, 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 blah. It tells him everything and gives him the interpretation. She says, wow, that was my dream. That's exactly it. Wow, you got a great God, and I'm going to give you great honor. And gives him the honor that he promised. Story goes on. Nebuchadnezzar goes on in the third chapter, and he creates that image. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. That's 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He dreamt a dream, and now he is doing whatever it is that he dreamt based on his natural interpretations. But now he wants everybody to worship his great image. Can you imagine? Sets it up, and when you hear the trumpet blast, you need to worship this God. And the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And so it was that they did that. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, no. We may be here, in exile, but you are not Lord over my life. I worship God. I don't worship your idol, no matter how big you make it. I don't care how many laws you put about it. We're not doing that. We serve God and God alone. Well, if your God was so great, how come you are here? It doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm here, but I know one thing. I am going to serve the Lord, not your idol. Oh, well, if you're not going to serve my idol that I've set up, to the fire you go. Okay. One life to live. And this life that I'm living for God. Not for you. You want to kill me? Go ahead. That passion must again be in the church. I'm not selling out. I'm going to live for God. If it means my death, so be it. But to God be all the glory. I'm living for Him. You've got to make that decision. So they heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. As if that was going to scare Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Fire is fire. 7 times hotter. Oh, normal heat, same thing. Death is death. Amen? So the guys, they're not going to cave. They made the decision. God is God and you are not. So the guys who came and grabbed them, threw them into the fire, grabbed them and threw them into the fire, but the guys throwing them into the fire get burnt by the fire. They're all dead. And here is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego walking in the fire. And there's a fourth guy. Huh? So Nebu looks and says, ah, didn't we throw 3 guys there? Where's this fourth guy from? Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men. They are not bound. They're loose. And they are walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fort is like the Son of God. Oh my, where did the fourth guy come from? Well, the fourth one could have kept them from the fire, but that's not what he did. Because God, you know, God sometimes likes doing it the hard way so that you can know that only He could have done it. Hallelujah. Saving them outside the fire, that would have been wonderful. But saving them in the fire, ah, that's glorious. And so He's there with them. You see, the God we serve will never leave you nor forsake you. He's God. And He's showing Himself strong. And He's letting Nebuchadnezzar know, listen, I only allowed you to bring these people here. And my vessels here. You're not in charge. I'm still in charge. And guess what? The Bible goes on and says, listen to this. He says, and Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, yes, this is what God was looking for. He was looking for this pagan king to recognize that he, God, is God. And I tell you, saints, that same God is in our present day. And he's about to reveal himself as the Most High God. The world is about to experience a God who cannot be limited by any activity of man, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He says, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and captains and the kings and counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. The fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Wow. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. They were in a different dimension. On one plane, all they could see was fire. But in another plane, God was their keeper, the hedge of protection. There was not a smell of smoke or fire on their clothes. It was like they never were in that circumstance. God is bringing you and I out of the fire and will not look like we're ever in any crisis. Please hear what I'm saying to you by the Spirit of the living God. We are going through situations, but there will be no mark that we were ever in that setting. It is the people trying to throw you into the fire that are going to be burnt by the fire. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're coming out. No smell of smoke. Ye kalabushai. So they were out. And the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach. Blessed be the God of those that stood against all that I planned for them to do. Because they stood, I can now recognize that there is somebody who's bigger than me. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered the servants that trusted in him, that trusted in him, that trusted in him, that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. They changed the king's word. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, the king's word is about to change. I said the king's word is about to change. Everything that they planned is about to collapse because there is a people that trust in God that said, I stand with God. I don't know if you're hearing me. But I'm declaring this day in the mighty name of Jesus, the words of kings are changing even now. They trusted in their God and have changed the king's word. Do you understand what that meant for Nebuchadnezzar to say that my word got changed? King's word doesn't change. He says something and that's the law. But he changed. He changed it and said, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Change my words to make certain that they don't serve any other God but their own God. But watch this. He says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language will speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I'm making a decree. Anybody who speaks nonsense about the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I'm coming to burn your house down. I'm going to make it a dunghill. Don't you mess with their God. It didn't take all the Israelites. It took 3, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. It was not even Daniel. Daniel is not even mentioned here. It's just Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God is going to deal with Daniel's situation sooner or later, but Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. This is, if you can put it this way, Daniel is like the pastor. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are church members. The body of Christ functioning under the leadership of the goodness of God and saying no to Satan and all his cohorts and said, no. I'm not bowing down to your gods. I don't care what. That is not going to be my story. And now Nebuchadnezzar is in agreement. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful when governments start agreeing and saying, we were wrong about this. All right, go. Then the king promoted. Somebody listening? The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They got a promotion. Someone say, I receive my promotion. They got a promotion. Then in chapter 4, told you I was going to be going through his office. Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. This time he doesn't forget it. And he tells his henchmen his dream. But they could not interpret it. Can interpret this dream. Okay. I'm done with you guys. Well, here comes Daniel again to the rescue. Verse 8 says, but at last, Daniel came before me, whose name was Belshazzar. That's his other name. According to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, or Daniel, master of the magicians, still using his own language to describe, you know, Daniel, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Those were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the side thereof to the end of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field that had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, an unholy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. He tells his vision. How do you tell the king bad news? But you see, when you are led by the Spirit of God and you have a fear of God and not a fear of man, you speak the truth and only the truth. Amen? There's no beating around the bush about it. You just tell the person, this is the truth. Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. For 1 hour, he just kept quiet. See, there's no diplomatic way to say what the truth is. I think for that 1 hour, he's trying to find out what is the nicest way I can tell this guy that he's about to hit, things are about to hit the fan. How do I tell the king this is the king? The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. I don't wish this on you. Let it be for your enemies, but not you. The tree that thou sawest which grew was strong, whose height reached into heaven, and the side thereof to all the earth. You know that tree? That's you, man. That's you. It is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. It's you. You that strong tree. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is interpretation, O King, and this is the decree. Just like you like making decrees, God makes decrees too, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. That you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. This is it. God is about to cause men to understand who the boss is. Amen? The world is about to understand who the boss is. Let me say it a third time. The world is about to understand who the boss is. There's a shaking in the heavens, and there's a shaking in the earth. In God's time, God says, you've been playing your games, now it's my turn. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is saying, my turn now. And when God strikes any racket that tries to stop his ball to play back, gets a hold right through. His ball, his strike, breaks your net. Hallelujah. Somebody listening? Pow! There's a reversal! There's a turnaround that God is bringing about that is going to shake everything that man has put in place. Watch. Things falling all over the place, scattered all over the place. He says, verse 7. I've been saying something for a while now that there's going to be a change, but my concern is at the other end of this decade. And I hear it now. Hallelujah. It's at the other end. But there is a reversal. And we declare by the authority of the word of God, so let it be now according to the word of the Lord. So here is Nebuchadnezzar. And he's being told, you're going to be like a wild animal in the bush. And Nebuchadnezzar ends up not on his throne, but in the forest with the animals. You know, oh, people are funny. You know, theologians sometimes are so, it's people that are supposed to know the word of God are so silly sometimes. It's crazy. You say it's bipolar. He had bipolar disease. Really, bipolar. That's the best you can come up with? This is no bipolar nothing. The guy's lost it. He's on all fours in the bush. Uncapped. But this is the awesomeness of God, that God who took him out for 7 years brought him back whole to his throne, and his throne was still in place. Somebody listening? God can chastise and restore. The position that God has for you, nobody can take away from you. Somebody listening? The God who's called you has called you, and his decree is permanent. Hear the word of the Lord. So he's back. He's restored. He is back in his position as king. And the chapter ends this way. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment." "And those that walk in pride, he's able to" what? "Abase." That was the conclusion of the matter. He learned his lesson. Nebuchadnezzar is restored. The Bible ends there with Nebuchadnezzar and starts out with his son in chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. But Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Remember? His father Nebuchadnezzar never went to this place. He brought it and kept it. But the son comes and says, "Bring me all those things. Bring them. Those vessels that were brought from the temple of God, bring them here. Let my wives, my princes, my whatever, let them just drink out of it." And while they are busy drinking, God says, "Really? Really? So, you still didn't figure it out about what happened to your father, right?" And God said, writing, "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin." And the guy freaks out. The Bible says he starts shaking. His knees were hitting each other. He says his joints went out of place. Scared, witless. And he's asking, "Anybody tell me? I don't see the hand, but something's written on the wall. Who can interpret it?" Nobody. Nobody. The guy is scared. He's off his rockers. "Oh my. What's happening here?" And the queen, his queen, comes and says, "Chill. Don't worry about it. All this, your magicians and whatever it is you got here, they know nothing. But your father had a guy called Daniel. How come he doesn't know about Daniel? Because sometimes, even when you've been put in a position of authority, there are people who always want to push you aside." But you see, even though they're trying to push Daniel aside and shut his mouth, the God who anointed Daniel was still with Daniel. And you will always be recognized for the gift that you are. Even though it seems like you are not relevant. See, sometimes we think, not relevant. We've got a new system going. We've got this, we've got that. But the people who got it, got it. Hello? When you've got it, you got it. And sooner or later, the people who think they got it will come looking for you who really got it. And so they came looking for Daniel. And Daniel says, okay, I'll tell you what it means. Hey, king, you're in hot soup. It's over for you. You went and you carried the vessels from the house of God, and you're drinking with it, with your concubines. Really? Do you know who you've been messing with? You've been messing with the one that your father came to recognize as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You mean you were born in this family and you don't get it? You lost it? Okay, since you lost it for good. Somebody listening? This is exactly what's happening now. Daniel begins to interpret. And verse 25 says, this is the writing that was written many, many tekel of Hassan. This is the interpretation. It's short. Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. One word. Mene, the interpretation is very long. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, people speak in tongues and the tongues is this way, this short, and the interpretation is this long. They say, wait a minute. I thought it was this much. No, there's interpretation. Hallelujah. Mene, tell you what it means. Your goose is cooked. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Ah. Oh. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. But he promised, the one that gives me the interpretation, I'm going to give them a gold chain. I'm going to dress them in scarlet. And I'm going to make a proclamation that they be the third ruler in the kingdom. So he did. But the Bible says, in that night, this was, you know, God takes time, but when God is fed up, it's quick. Hello? All this time, he's taking time, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. Now he comes to the son, Belshazzar, and God says, okay, I'm fed up with this. You finished. And that night, that same night, he is slain. He's dead. And Darius, the Mede, took the kingdom. And he, how old is he? 62 years old. He's 72 year old. Or rather, 62 year old. His 62 year old comes and takes up the kingdom from the young man. But guess what? Guess who continues on? Daniel. You see, when you obey God, you go through all the regimes. You continue. Because there's no stopping attached to your name. There is no peaking. Hello? Even this day, we're still talking about Daniel. When you cannot talk about the book of Revelation without considering Daniel. It is the life of a man who refused to eat the king's food. No compromise. The best thing you can do for yourself in every aspect of your life is know where the line is, where you don't cross, where you say no compromise. Those of you who've been around me for a long while, you've heard me say, if I could get rid of one word from the English dictionary, it would be the word compromise. Get rid of it. Because when you compromise, there's no truth. Compromise is a place of lukewarmness. Compromise only keeps you away from what you are trying to escape for a short moment. You know where the line is? Stick with it. And stick it. You know, if you're a gymnast and you're doing all your tumbling, as no matter how good it is, and you land and you go like this, you've lost lots of points. You got to stick it. Then you get your 10 points. Know how to stick it. Praise the Lord. And so that man's time ended. What is this message about? It's just a prophetic declaration about the timing that we are in. Many years ago, right here, I heard the Lord say something, and I repeated it here. For me, it sounded rather strange because I never had an interpretation of scriptures that way before. The Lord said, some of you might remember it, I said right here, I said, Satan just got kicked out of heaven. You remember that? I said, it's about to hit the fan. You remember that? And what happened? It hit. I never thought about Satan still hanging around. He just got kicked out. And guess what? About a week later, I'm just going on television. I don't know, some man of God from somewhere said the same exact thing. He said, I heard God say, Satan just got kicked out. I said, oh, that's a brother. He hears. I'm telling you now, there's a reversal. Things are shift in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. There's going to be a backstepping. The king's word is about to be reversed. Praise the Lord. I declare it by the authority of the word of the Most High God. Land. Preach. Preach. Hey, the time has come.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we give God praise for his faithfulness and for his eternal word and for the transformation that he's bringing about, because God is in charge and he's drawing the line and saying, that's it. Okay, you've had your fun. Now it's my turn. There are going to be people that are off set aside, people that are going to be knocked off, all kinds of things are going to be happening. It's a compressed season in God. Amen? Let us celebrate the goodness of God. Blessed be the name of the Most High. Amen. Bless you, saints. Well, at this time, we'll honor the Lord with our giving. I want to thank God for every one of you that have faithfully given not just your tithe and offerings, but have honored God with vows, honored God with first fruits, honored God with alms, honored God in all kinds of ways. I pray that the blessing of the Lord will come upon you, seize a hold of you, and shake off of your life any kind of limitation. That the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you. I want to thank God for everyone that has invested deep from their person. There are people here who have given very generously, dug deep into their pockets, and gave for the renovations that have already started. There are so many things that we are trying to accomplish during this time. It is the screen that most likely might end up being the last thing that comes, hangs in there. But we're changing the carpet now, as you can see. Within the next, depending on how fast chairs get here, and that we're doing by faith, chairs will be changed and all of that. This place, whole place, is going to be totally different. But it's not happening by chance. It's happening because of people who have given faithfully. The carpeting was taken care of by one person. That was not. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is not cheap. Well, somebody gave deep from when the person said, this is what God told me to give this. I'm looking at the person and saying, you don't have that. But if God is telling you to do it, he has something on his mind. Everyone who has invested for the refurbishing and the restoration and expansion that God has asked us to bring about here, you are going to see the hand of God manifest in your life. Everyone. Amen? Hallelujah. I declare by the authority of the Word of God that you will never experience lack in any area of your life. May the faithfulness of God be demonstrated, be lived out in you, through you, by you. Not just for you, but for your families, your children, and your children's children. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Amen? Hallelujah. We live in a very compressed season of time, in which God is going to do a quick work. When I say a quick work, I really mean that. I don't know when the Lord is going to come, but this is the time to stick your hand on that plow and not look back. This is the time that the Lord is talking about. Keep on going straight. Don't look back. This is not the time to be looking for Lot's wife. take it. Go for it. With everything that you've got. Because the reward is not only going to be enjoyed now, but for all eternity. I don't know when he's coming back, but I know he's coming soon. Amen? Sooner than you and I think. Have you honored God with your giving? Then rise with me. Oh, you're still waiting? I thought you were moving while I'm talking. Hello. Just keep on doing it. Don't wait for me to finish talking first. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For the screen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You wrote it there? All right. Keep it. For screen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Well, before I dismiss us in just a moment, we're going to have communion. I want you to know that this weekend, starting on Friday, we start 3 days of special meetings called Glory Fest. I want you to even now begin to intercede for those meetings. Not just pray for yourself, what God should do for you, but pray one for the other, that God will do something extraordinary in the life of somebody else. God has something on his mind. Yesterday, I was going to go to the barber shop to have a haircut. But while I was in my washroom, you know, getting ready to go, God spoke to me about somebody. He said, if this person dies, what will you go to the funeral? I said, I don't think so. He said, okay, forget that. When you get there, and you're asked to say something about this person, what would you say? And I thought, what would be a diplomatic, you don't want to say something bad about somebody. I said, I will say, that when this guy is in the room, you definitely know he's in the room. So, okay, that's good. Because this guy is a real loud mouth. The decibel when he comes, it's really high. So I went to the barber shop, and sure enough, about 20 minutes later, the guy comes in. And I won't say anything to him. And we're having discussion. And all of a sudden, he started talking about death and funerals, and I said, this is not sounding good. This is sounding like what the Lord was saying to me when I was in the washroom. And then some new guy comes in, and the guy says, wherever you are, everybody knows. I said, oh no. So I tell this guy, this is the toughest guy. You can preach to this guy. You can tell him nothing about the Lord. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in anything. He's just that. I said, please sit down. I need to talk to you right now. He's standing there. I said, please sit down. So he sits down. And I start talking to him about the Lord. And this guy says, are you trying to convert this guy? This guy is like, he's a brother to Satan. I said, forget that. I'm not trying to convert him. I need to tell him something. Would you know that this man prays the sinner's prayer and gets saved?
If there's one person on the planet that I will think will never accept the Lord, this was the guy. And he gives his life to the Lord in the barber shop. So I asked him, I said, do you know where my church is? He said, yes. I said, you need to come. So he says to the guy who's the barber, the owner of the store, he says, you better come and pick me and bring me to the church. I am wondering, where am I? Well, God did a quick work. It wasn't because I told him a long story. I just told him, you need to accept the Lord right now. This is what you need to pray. He says, how can I do that? I said, I'm going to lead you. And he did. God wants to save people that you think cannot be reached. He is God, and he's in charge. Amen. And one of these days, he's going to be here. Praise the Lord. Lifting up holy hands and worshiping the living God. May the hand of God rest upon every one of you. No divine prosperity. Mama, come, let's share in communion together. And as soon as we finish sharing in communion, the promo for the meetings coming up, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be played. I want you to be here. Don't miss it. Don't just sit at home and say, I'm going to watch it online. Online is for people who are far away, who are in other provinces, in other countries. There are people who listen in Europe, listen in Africa, listen in Israel. I get all kinds of calls about people. Even right now, as we're having this service, it's possible somebody's listening in Israel right now. Don't look at those numbers you see on Facebook and YouTube. Those are all lies. There are thousands and thousands of people that are listening and receiving the word of God. This, what we're doing here, is for them. But for you, you need to be here. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take of this body of the Lord and eat and receive your healing. Receive your provision. Receive the blessings of God in your life. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, Lawrence family. You moved. Come. You made a move. You come. Hallelujah. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your lives, over your business. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Grace, 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 grace. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Open your hands unto the Lord. Say with me, Father, as I take off this body, may I come into full covenant, the covenant of your blessing. Right now, I receive it. I walk in the fullness of it. And I am a testimony, testifying that you are a good God, an awesome God, the Most High God. Amen. Take and eat.
Hallelujah. As we take of this cup of covenant, says the blood that speaks better things, the blood of Jesus speak better things. May better things be spoken of you and your family all year long. In the name of Jesus, regarding your health, regarding your walk with God, regarding your finance, regarding your relationship, regarding your living well, take and drink.
Hallelujah. Amen. I need you, young man. Just come over. See the promo? Just stand over there. And allow God to bless you. See you tonight.